Heavenly Father, we believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that we're living in the last days. And we know that according to your word that Jesus Christ could return at any moment. Yet no one knows the day or the hour. And so it could be another day. It could be another year. It could be another 100 years. It could be another 1,000 years. But Lord, we don't believe, according to the signs of the time and the prophetic word of God, that we have that much time left. We believe that Jesus could come at any moment. And so, Lord, we want our lives to count for something. The prophet Daniel said that in the last days, those that know their God shall be great and do exploits. Lord, may we be numbered among that group of people who know you intimately and who become great and do exploits, not for our glory, but for your glory. We want to accomplish and fulfill the destiny that you have for every one of us. And Lord, we want to bear much fruit for your glory. And we want people to see Jesus in us. And we want to lead many souls to Christ. And when Jesus returns, we want to hear him say to each of us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter in to the joy of your Lord." And so, Father, just encourage us and feed us and challenge us with your word today. Inspire us to go forth and be doers of the word and not just hearers only. And when you return, may we be accomplishing everything that you've ordained for each of us so that we might honor you and give you the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's message is entitled, "There's More for You." I want you to look at somebody, smile, and say, "There's more for you." Boy, when I was a little kid, I liked to hear that at the table, at my grandmother's table, when we would go there for Sunday dinner, and the mashed potato bowl would be getting a little bit low, and I loved my grandma's mashed potatoes, and she would go back into the kitchen and put some more in the bowl and bring it out and set it on the table, look at me and say, "There's more for you." Amen. Isn't it good to know there's more for you? Amen. That we don't have to be worried of running out. We're living in a time right now when everybody's talking about the economy and the stock market and the gas prices and the dollar, its strength on the international market and everything. But you know what? It's not that I ignore those things. I hear about it on the news on a regular basis. But my life is just believing and trusting in God. And I just say, you know what, Lord, I give my tithes, I give my offerings, I pray, I praise you, you're my source. So if the whole world falls apart, I just believe wherever I'm at, you're going to take care of me. You're just going to take care of me. Why do I believe that? Because I believe in covenant relationship. And I believe that God cannot lie. And I believe that he made a promise to me and to every one of us who will believe in him. Through his son, Jesus Christ, we're in covenant relationship. And no matter what happens to the rest of the world, he has spoken his word that he's going to take care of us. Now, and I just trust that he's going to do that. Now, that doesn't mean that I live frivolously or that I don't do the right things. I pay my bills on time. I take care of things that need to be taken care of. I'm not slothful. I try to be diligent in everything. But I don't let what the news media says over television and radio and the printed page scare me and make me worry and make me stay at home and shiver and shake and say, "What am I going to do? What am I going to do?" I've already done what I'm going to do. I'm going to believe God. That's what I'm going to do. And I just believe God has much more for every one of us. Amen? In Acts chapter 19, Paul is visiting in Ephesus. And I'm going to read the first 10 verses of this passage of Scripture. And I believe within these 10 verses, there's some things the Lord wants to teach us and show us and inspire and encourage us with. Luke is writing here. He said, "While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' They answered, 'No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit.' So Paul asked, 'Then what baptism did you receive?' 'John's baptism,' they replied." Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But some of them became obstinate. They refused to believe and publicly maligned the way. So Paul left them. He took the disciples with him and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This went on for 2 years, so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. Well, Paul was on one of his missionary journeys, and he didn't travel alone. He had others that traveled with him. And Luke, who is the author and writer of the Gospel of Luke and also the book of Acts, acted as a scribe. And he sort of kept a diary, daily diary and notes of their travels and everything. And in this particular instance, he speaks of Apollos was at Corinth, and Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. And I believe that our steps, the Bible says the steps of a just man are ordered of the Lord. And whether you realize it or not, every day that you get up, get out of bed, go to work, wherever you go, you think that you're taking the route that you've chosen, and that's good. But also know that God's directing your steps as well. God has certain things for you to do, certain people for you to meet, certain places for you to be at a certain time. And I remember a minister friend of mine years and years ago from South Africa. His name was David Luplessy, and he said, "You have to learn to be supernaturally natural and naturally supernatural." So you think about that for a while. Learn to be naturally supernatural and supernaturally natural. In other words, we just live our lives normally, but at the same time realizing that as believers in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is directing our steps and guiding our life. And He's going to put us in the right place at the right time to meet the right people, to get the right results, if we will stay in tune with Him. Amen? So Paul was at Ephesus, and it says there he found some disciples. Now, the thing that we need to understand, and we'll find as we read on, he asked them this question, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we've not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." And so Paul asked them, "Then what baptism did you receive?" And they said, "John's baptism." And so these disciples, understand, were not disciples of Jesus Christ, but they were disciples of John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist was first cousin to Jesus, and he was the forerunner. He was the one Isaiah said that was a voice crying in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." And yet, John had been beheaded. Jesus had already been crucified and risen from the dead and ascended back to heaven. And yet there were still people in the outlying areas that still just had heard the message of John. This doesn't necessarily, they said they were disciples of John, and it doesn't necessarily mean that they had ever even met John face to face. I mean, I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I haven't met him face to face, but I follow his teachings. I follow his word. I believe in him. And so these were obviously disciples of John the Baptist. They had heard his message on repentance. They chose to believe it. So they were living godly lives. They were living holy lives, but we would call them Old Testament seekers. They were seeking for the coming of Messiah. And I was reading one commentary, and this commentary said, upon this verse, it said, there were literally disciples of John the Baptist all the way through the second century. Now, I want you to stop and think about that. I mean, the church was birthed in around 33 AD in the first century, and here you still have people who are disciples of John the Baptist over 100 years later. And you know why that is? You and I today live in a world of instant communication. We have IM, that's instant messaging. We have text messaging. We have cell phones. We have satellite. We have television. We have the radio. And so something can happen on the other side of the world And literally with satellite technology, we can watch it live as it happens. But you have to understand the earlier world, things would happen that they never knew about. I mean, have you heard some of the stories of Japanese soldiers being found on islands in the Pacific that still thought the war was going on? They'd been there for 40 years, abandoned, and they still thought the war was going on. That's how out of touch they were with the rest of the world. And so here are these disciples. They say, well, we're disciples of John. Well, what's the point in this? The point is that there's more for you, just like there was more for them, but they just hadn't been informed yet. They didn't know about it. There was so much more that God wanted to give to them, but they hadn't heard the message yet. They hadn't been informed. And I believe the Holy Spirit is encouraging every one of you listening to me that God has so much more for you. You just haven't realized it yet. You just haven't gotten a revelation of it yet. You just haven't been informed yet. But that doesn't mean that it's not there. It's there. It just has to be revealed to you. Look at all the mysteries of this world. I mean, fire has always been there. But at some point, man learned how to harness it and use it for his ability and for his good. Electricity is something that's always been there. It's been in the universe. Amen? How many centuries had to go by until some man's mind became so inquisitive? You know, I don't know, Benjamin Franklin puts a kite up and puts a key on the end of it, and lightning strikes it and, you know, discovers electricity, and Thomas Edison learns how to harness it and use it. And so now we have electric lights and we can have air conditioning and we have all this stuff. All I'm saying is there's so much there, but we have to discover it. And as you're listening to me right now as a Christian, don't say, well, I guess this is all I got and I'll just, you know, sit back and wait and sit on my blessed assurance until Jesus gets here. And no, God has so much more. So much more He wants to impart to you. So much more that He wants to give to you. Paul met these disciples, and the very first question that he asked them was, did you receive? Now he's asking them, did you receive the Holy Spirit? But the first part of that question is, did you receive? And to receive something means that you are going to increase. Amen? I mean, if somebody offers you something and you accept it and you receive it, then you are increasing in something. Amen? Whether it's knowledge or whether it's food or whether it's clothing. If somebody says, would you like to have this pair of shoes? Well, you've just increased in shoes. Amen? Whatever you don't have and somebody offers and you accept, then you increase in that. And so Paul asked the question, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He wanted to know if they received. Well, their response was, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. See, that was their problem, was they hadn't heard. Well, I want to say to you, there's more for you. But the only way that you're going to find out about it is you're going to have to listen, you're going to have to hear. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and by hearing God's Word. And so you're going to have to start listening to God's Word. You're going to have to start reading God's Word. Start meditating in God's Word. Start seeking God and asking Him, what is it you have for me? Because He has more for you than you have right now. I'll guarantee it. Look at somebody again and smile and say, God has more for you. Amen. He does. He has more for you. But these disciples of John, they said, you know, we haven't even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. So Paul said, well, then what baptism did you receive? What baptism did you receive? And they said, John's baptism. Well, John's baptism was a good baptism. It was a baptism of repentance. But John himself said to his disciples, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, But there comes one after me who's preferred before me, the latchets of whose shoes I'm not even worthy to unloose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire, and his fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. And the wheat he will gather into the barn, but the chaff he will burn up with fire unquenchable. What was he talking about? He said, I am leading you to the one who's going to give you more. And when you meet him, he's going to give you the Holy Spirit, and then he's going to begin to burn the impurities out of your life so that you can be a pure vessel for him. So John could only give them and offer them so much, but what he was offering them was to take a step further in their faith. And wherever you are at right now in your faith, there's another step for you. There's another step that you need to take. You need the Bible doesn't say we drive by faith or we run by faith or we ride by faith. It says we walk by faith. Amen? And to walk means you take one step at a time. And so I don't know what the last step of faith was that you took, what the last thing was you started believing God for, you started petitioning God for, but whatever it was, you need to go to your next step now. You need to go to your next level. The problem is that sometimes we just get comfortable where we're at and we just sit there and we wait on God to do something when all along God's waiting on you to do something. I'm telling you right now, I'm preaching to myself as much as I'm preaching to you, but it's God, it's His Word. He's saying this to all of us, that there's so much more that He has for you. There's so much more that He has for me, but we have to step out in faith and begin to take it. Paul said in verse 4, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is in Jesus. So basically Paul was saying, believe in Jesus. Believe in Jesus. Look at somebody and say, believe in Jesus. This was not a new message, but it was a new message to them. Just like it's not a new message to you as you listen to me, but it may very well be a new message to somebody that you share it with. When you leave here, when you go to work, when you go to school tomorrow, when you go shopping, whatever it might be, there's somebody that needs to hear what you got to say. And I'm not telling you to go out there and be preachy or be religious or be judgmental. I'm just saying share what you have. Because there are people out there that need to hear what you've got to say. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? He said, because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Romans 1:16. From the Jew first, even unto the Greek, unto the Gentile. So let's not be embarrassed. Let's not be ashamed. Paul said to Timothy, I am not ashamed, for I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. So don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed. Don't compromise. Be bold and stand up and say, yes, I believe in Jesus. Yes, I'm a Christian. Yes, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes, I believe I can cast out demons. Yes, I lay my hands on the sick. I expect them to get delivered and set free. Yes, I believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Yes, I speak in other tongues. What about it? What do you speak with? Amen? Don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed. Don't compromise, but get out there and start sharing because there's more for every one of us. Paul's message, as I said, wasn't a new message, but it was new to these disciples of John. If we go back to the 16th chapter, and remember he was in Philippi and he'd cast a demon out of a girl who was telling fortunes and got through in jail for it. And Paul and Silas were in jail, and at midnight they began to praise God, and God sent an earthquake and shook the place and released them from their bondage. And the Philippian jailer, I believe it's in Acts 16, around verses 30 and 31, he was going to commit suicide because he was responsible for these prisoners, and he realized if they had gotten away, then the Roman law said he had to give his life for theirs. But Paul said, do yourself no harm. We're still here. And then in verse 30 of Acts 16, this Philippian jailer asked the question. He said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And Paul responded to him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And that's exactly what happened. The jailer took Paul and Silas back to his house, washed their wounds, give them some food to eat, and they shared the gospel with them. And the jailer and his wife and the whole family got saved. Wonderful. Why? Because they believed in Jesus. But you see, it was because God had more for them. God had more for them. And Paul had what they needed, and that was the word, the message of Jesus. And do you realize God has more for you, but He also has more for you, not just for you, but for you to give to others. Amen? And so that's the main purpose for God investing in us and giving to us and sharing with us so that we can share with others. God wants to bless you so that you can bless somebody else. He wants to bless you to be a blessing. Amen? And so in verse 5, we go on hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. You see, they heard what Paul had to say, but they didn't stop with just hearing it. They acted upon it. Notice again, it says, on hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. In James chapter 1, verse 22, we're told to be doers of the word and not just hearers only, deceiving ourselves. You've heard me say it so many times before, but if you just go to church and it goes in one ear and out the other and it doesn't get down in your heart and it doesn't change the way you think and the way you act, then you've literally wasted your time. You've deceived yourself. You've heard, but you haven't acted. See, faith comes by hearing, but faith without works is dead. And so we've got to hear to produce faith to make us act so that we can do something, accomplish something, be something. And then when we do that, there's more for you. There's more for you. God has more for every one of us. And I'm at a point in my life where I say, I'm ready to move on to the next level, God. I'm ready to take the next step. I want to see what's out there. Come on. Are you excited about serving Him? Let's get fired up about serving Him. On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, they became believers. Watch this. Increase just started coming immediately. Verse 6 says, when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. And so here they were in one day's time, disciples of John, living holy life, believing in the coming of Messiah, but not knowing the Messiah had already come and left. But they were just not informed. They didn't know. But somebody came along and challenged them by saying, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe? No, we didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. Well, then what were you baptized into? Well, I was baptized into John's baptism. Nothing wrong with John's baptism, except it's obsolete now. It's no good now. The expiration date is, you know, it's expired. There's something more for you. Well, what is that? Well, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved in your household. Well, okay, we believe. And so they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus, but didn't stop there. Paul had even more to give to them. He laid hands on them. The Holy Spirit came upon them. They spoke in tongues and they prophesied. There was more, and there's more for them. There's more for you. Where are you at in your spiritual life right now? Have you received Jesus as Lord? That's great. The next thing is, have you received Him as baptizer in the Holy Spirit? You need that. Have you received Him as your provider? Have you received Him as your healer, the great physician? Have you received Him as your deliverer? Have you received Him as your comforter? Amen? It's like one little girl went to church, she came home, and her grandma said, "What did the preacher talk about in church this morning?" "Oh, grandma, he talked about quilts." "Quilts? What do you mean?" "You know, yeah, quilts." "No, sweetheart, I don't know." What the preacher was talking about quilts?" "Said, yes, grandma, he was talking about the comforter." Well, some of you get that, some of you don't, but... But the comforter is not a blanket. Amen. The comforter is the Holy Spirit. And so when Paul preached Jesus to them, they believed and they received. But he knew right away, that's not the end. That's just the beginning. God has more for you. So he laid his hands on them. And they received the Holy Spirit. Verse 7 says, there were about 12 men in all. Well, the significance that I see in this is that there were 12 of them, and Jesus literally transformed the whole world with 12 men. Amen? He had 12 disciples, and one of them had a demon. Amen? And it's just that if Jesus can take 12 men and change the entire world, then you and I ought to be able to at least make some significant improvement in our neighborhood, amen, in our community, in our workplace, in our own family. Whatever the case may be, there's more. There's more for all of us. Now, I love the writings of Paul, but I love his life. I've studied his life, and he's just such an incredible man. He just never stops. He's like the Energizer Bunny. He just keeps on going and going and going. Verse 8 says, Paul entered the synagogue, and he spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. So you see, the more we have, the more we can give away. That's a principle of the kingdom of God in Luke 6:38. If we give, it shall be given unto us, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. God will cause men to give into her bosom with the same measure that we give with all, it shall be measured back to us. Paul received through the obedience of a disciple named Ananias. Was that his name? What was his name? Wasn't it Ananias? I'm thinking Ananias and Sapphira. I don't want to get that wrong. The disciple that went to Paul anyway. I think his name was Ananias too. But he went to Paul and he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road told me to come here and pray for you that you might receive your sight and receive the Holy Spirit." Amen? And so he laid hands on him, and it said scales fell from his eyes and he received his sight. And immediately he went out and he was baptized. And so there was a time in Saul. He was Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul. There was a time in his life where he was lacking the truth about Jesus. And when he received that truth, the Lord brought healing to his physical body, brought salvation, gave him eternal life. Then he filled him with the Holy Spirit. Well, he could have just died and gone to heaven right then. He could have sat back and just waited on Jesus for the rest of his life. But no, something was given to him so that he could give to somebody else. And that's the way the kingdom of God works. Give and it shall be given. And so what was given to Paul, he started giving away to others. And as he gave it away to others and kept giving it away to others and they kept giving it away to others, that's how the church has grown over the centuries and continues to grow. And so we need to understand that when we receive, the purpose of our receiving is so that we'll give. There's so much more that God has for you, but you need to give what you have right now. You need to invest yourself in the kingdom of God, your gifts, your talents, your abilities, your time, your money, whatever it might be, and go forth and share it with others. Now, verse 9, it says, some of them became obstinate. They refuse to believe and they publicly malign the way. So Paul left them and he took the disciples with him and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. What this shows me is that we have a lot to share and to give with others, but not everybody's going to accept what we have to share. In fact, some will downright refuse it. I can look into the faces of people sometimes. Just recently, I was at a gathering of people and I was sharing publicly some things about Jesus. And as my eyes was looking over the group of people, there were some younger people there, I would say in their late teens, early 20s or whatever. And just by the very expression on their faces, the way they rolled their eyes and turned their head and looked down and looked at the wall and looked at the ceiling, I just knew that what I was saying didn't mean a hill of beans to them. They were just wishing I would shut up and leave so they could go do something else. They were uncomfortable where they were at. They were not accepting. They were not receiving. They were not believing what I was having to say. Now, I have to be honest with you. Years ago, when that would happen, it used to irritate me. And I would challenge people sometimes. I've done that in the middle of a meeting. I'd see people, I'd go, "Are you bored?" But I've tried to be a little more tactful in my old age. I found it's better to use honey than vinegar, right, if you're going to catch flies, but amen. But Paul didn't waste time and argue with them. I'm willing to discuss and talk with people that want to talk, but if they just want to argue, you're wasting your time. Jesus said, "Don't cast your pearls before swine." So what did Paul do? He left. He realized he'd been there for 3 months in the synagogue teaching, and a lot of people were listening, but some weren't. But it's not that they weren't listening. It's that they became obstinate and they began to publicly renounce the way. Now notice the scripture here calls it the way. There's a reason for calling it the way or the way, because Jesus himself in John 14:6 said, "I am the way." I'm telling you right now, again, you've heard me say this, that I don't want to be politically correct. I want to be biblically correct. But right now in our society, and especially in the United States, some preachers are being challenged and fined or arrested for what the public is calling hate speech, because they preach you can't go to heaven unless you go through Jesus Christ. Oh, you can't say that publicly. Well, I'm sorry. I will say that publicly. And if you want to put me in jail, if you want to call it hate speech, you want to find me, I can't help but obey what Jesus said. Now, it might sound hard, but the fact of the matter is, what if it's true? And we know it is true. At least those people are never going to have the excuse, "Nobody told me. I never knew it. I never heard it." Because to be politically correct, we just want to include everybody and say, "Yeah, I know God loves everybody, you little sweetheart, you. It's okay. It's okay." I heard a preacher on a television talk show years ago, not going to mention his name, doesn't matter who he was, but he was very well known nationwide, and he was on the Phil Donahue program. And I was so appalled by the conversation that went on that I actually wrote to the station and got a transcript and still have it after all these years in my file in my desk at home, because the subject was brought up by Phil Donahue on his own program to this minister guest. He said, "What about this scripture in the Bible that says Jesus is the only way to heaven? What about the Jews? What about the Muslims? What about the Buddhists? What about the Hindus and all this? What about..." And then he said, "And what about me? What about me, Reverend? What do you think Phil Donahue will go to heaven?" And this guy had a great opportunity right then to share the gospel with him. And he Instead, he looked at him and he said, "Well, Phil, I believe that when you get to the pearly gates, St. Peter will open up and look and say, 'There's Phil Donahue, come on in.'" And then, of course, Phil just stood there and smiled and thought that was great. And this guy, he had a great opportunity on a nationwide television program to share the truth of the gospel, but instead he chose to back out and not cause controversy and not speak the truth. Well, I'm afraid I couldn't do that, and I won't do that. And I believe that minister will have to answer to the Lord someday for that. And I'm not here to judge him, but I'm just saying, some people aren't going to receive and some people are going to challenge you. And so Paul recognized that he was not doing any more good where he was at. And so he left and he took the disciples with him. And he had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. Now, what I thought was interesting, Paul left. And that shows us that we can't help everybody. Amen? We really can't help everybody. But we need to help the ones who want help. So he went to this lecture hall and it says he had discussions daily. It shows me that if we're going to be true disciples, we need daily discipleship. Amen? We need to learn daily. We need to study daily. We need to read and pray daily. But knowing that you can't help everybody, Jesus said, "Many are called, but few are chosen." You've heard that scripture before. But a literal translation of that is, many are called, but few choose. Because God is really calling everybody. Whosoever will, let him come. But few people actually choose to follow him. In light of all of the people of the world, the percentage is very small of the people that choose Jesus, that choose to follow him. But you know, Paul was an itinerant traveling ministry and he preached wherever he had the opportunity. He had an opportunity in the synagogue, which was a Jewish place of worship, but they let him in there and he stayed in there for 3 months until finally they began to speak out against what he was saying about Christ being Messiah. And so they kicked him out. Well, he had to look around. It's just like us, you know, if our lease expired in one place, we just have to move on to the next place that opens up. But God is faithful to open up a place. He opened up this opportunity for us here to be here. Well, Paul found a lecture hall of Tyrannus. And when I was reading the commentary, the name Tyrannus, you know what it literally means? The literal translation, the Greek interpretation of the name Tyrannus means our tyrant. Our tyrant. And this commentary said what it was Tyrannus. Evidently, he was either the main lecturer or he owned the lecture hall. And what he lectured on, the law of Moses and all of that. And he had people, students that came there to his lecture, just like college students go to hear a professor lecture on a particular subject. But evidently he was so strict and legalistic in his approach and in his teaching that his students called him our tyrant. He was a tyrant. And so that's how his name Tyrannus means our tyrant. And so so Paul goes to the tyrant's lecture hall and he rents space. And literally it says that the space was probably open from 11 a.m. until 4 in the afternoon because usually they would go in the early morning hours when it was cooler and then later in the afternoon and the evening when it was cooler in these lecture halls because, you know, not like us today, they didn't have air conditioning and fans and all that kind of stuff. You have to realize where they at was hot and these are big stone buildings or whatever per se. But I'm just saying that it's practical and that we should never be satisfied with what we have. There's more. And Paul wanted to give more. He wanted to invest more in these people who wanted to learn more. And so there was more for them, and there's more for us. We conclude in verse 10, it says, "This went on for 2 years." See, he was in this area for probably at least 3 years, but He was 3 months in the synagogue, and then over 2 years in the lecture hall of Tyrannus, so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. Now, another interesting fact was during this period of time, Paul was teaching the gospel and leading people to Christ. And according to this same commentary that I read, it says they heard the word of the Lord. Faith comes by hearing. They heard the word of the Lord in the province of Asia, which was a huge province. If you go to the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, you'll see there are seven churches that were in this Asian province. And the commentator said that it's very likely that it was through the teaching and the preaching of the Apostle Paul that these seven churches were birthed in the first place. There were two other churches, one at Colossae and one at Hierapolis, that were birthed as a result, direct result of Paul's teaching here in Ephesus at the lecture hall of Tyrannus, and he continued for 2 years. But what I'm saying here is that there's always more, and there's constant increase if we'll be faithful to keep sowing the seed. Be faithful in what God's called you to do. God has called us not just to receive from Him, but to give to others what we receive from Him. And as we sow, we will reap. And there's so much more that God wants to do for us. And God's Word is the most important possession that we have. It says, this went on for 2 years so that all the Jews and the Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. Look at somebody and say, they heard the word of the Lord. And I'm saying this to say to you that, again, God's word is your most prized possession. In Psalm 119, verse 105, David said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Verse 130 says, the entrance of your word gives light, it gives understanding to the simple. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And the scripture goes on to tell us in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, that faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. So we need to understand how important God's word is to us, how important your Bible is to you. Don't just throw it in the back seat of your car and get it out next week when it's time to come in the church building, but take it in and put it beside your bed and read it in the morning, read it at night, and read it when you get an opportunity. Listen to it on CDs or cassettes or whatever. Another verse I want to share, and turn with this one and we'll conclude with this, is in the book of 1 John, the 5th chapter. Again, we're talking about there's more for you. And you just have to be informed. You have to be told. You realize that you can possess something and not be aware of possessing it. You know, if somebody deposited a certain amount of money in your bank, that money would be there for your use. You could write a check on it, but you wouldn't know it unless you checked your balance, unless somebody told you you got more money than you thought. Well, I'm wanting to say to you, you've got more than you think, because God has more for you. There's more for you. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, the Apostle John said, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. Okay, how many of you here this morning believe in the name of the Son of God? All right, because of that, then this is written to you. He said, I'm writing these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. Now watch this. So that you may know that you have eternal life. Now, they believed in the name of the Son of God, but some of them weren't aware that they possessed eternal life. He goes, I want you to know what you got. You've got something, but I want you to know what you got. And I'm saying to each of you listening to me today, there's some things you've got that you're not aware of. You have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you. You have everything you need to accomplish what God's called you to do. You're not lacking in anything in your life except perhaps some knowledge. The prophet Hosea said, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." And it's not that the knowledge is there. Not there. It is there. It's just that we need to apply it. We need to study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He goes on to say in verse 14, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." Or I could say, if we ask anything according to His word, because His word is His will. So when we ask God something that's according to His word, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we've asked of Him. You see, if we ask God for something that's according to His word, then it's guaranteed. We have it. By faith, we have it. It's ours. God promised it, and He cannot break His promise. Now, last verse of Scripture is in Ephesians chapter 3. I'm just throwing this in at no extra charge, okay? That's a good one for you, for all of us. But God has a way of confirming things. Right before I started to preach, Kay came up and said something to me, and she didn't realize it, but she quoted a verse of Scripture, and that was the Scripture God gave me to conclude with this morning. So it was kind of a confirmation we were on the right track here. And this is Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Paul says, "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Or the King James says, "Unto Him who is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power of His Spirit that works within us." In other words, let's take the limits off of God. We limit Him through our doubt and our fear and our unbelief. But God has more for you. Immeasurably more than you could imagine. All you need to do is start asking Him. Amen? So I want you to bow your heads with me this morning, if you would. I'm going to pray for you and conclude, but then I'm going to ask Craig to come down and minister with me, because we just want to open up the altar for people to come, because we want to pray for you, lay hands on you, and agree with you that you'll begin to walk in the abundance that God has for you, because there is more. Look at somebody one more time and tell them there's more for you. Amen. There's more for each and every one of us, and God wants you to have your cup running over. Amen. Father in heaven, I pray for my brothers and sisters here this morning in this congregation. I appreciate them, I love them, and I thank You for their commitment to You, to the church, to the work that You're doing here through this ministry. And Lord, I pray for those that may be listening on the World Wide Web or those listening to a CD of this message. I just pray, Lord, that they would be challenged and inspired and encouraged, that there's more for them. There's so much more that You desire to impart to every one of us. And by faith, we just open our hearts right now and say, Lord, just give us a full measure. Give us a full measure. Let our cups run over abundantly so that we can share with others. As Paul shared the word, may we share the word as well. And may we see great and mighty things come to pass because of it. And we'll give You all the praise and all the glory for the fruit that is brought forth because of our obedience. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.